Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, our Father, which art in heaven. We greet you in that wonderful name. And I'm kind of scared up here. I don't usually speak to big crowds like this very often, but I say crowds, brothers and sisters. But we serve a great God, and I'm glad to be here and share the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God is our anchor, the hope of glory, and we are so glad to know Him and serve Him. I don't know where I'd be if I wouldn't have decided as a young man to follow Jesus. So, young man, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And if you read in 1 John 1, or is it 2, where it says, it talks to the children, it talks to the young man, be strong, and to the fathers, it gives good advice there. And I don't have a Father's Day message, but I'm very interested in families. Take courage. God is with us, and He'll help us. We have never gone this way before as young families, but Jesus promised He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So keep on going. Before I get to the message, I have something in John 1 I'd like to read. And Jesus said there to His disciples that He was calling, you know, a couple of them came there and they said, they followed Him. And then He asked, I'll just read it. In John 1, chapter 1 of John, John the Baptist he baptized Jesus, and in verse 33, I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. He was convinced, John the Baptist, way back there. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. It's good advice for us today. Behold the Lamb of God. And another place He said, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. That's a message I'd like to share with you this morning. Come and see what the Lord has for you. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak followed him, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. Two phrases that the disciples used. We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can there any good come out of Nazareth? Philip saith, come and see. I like that phrase. Come and see what God has for you. He's got blessings and he has a plan that we don't fully understand until we give up, lay down our own ideas, and follow Jesus. It's exciting. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, behold, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Wow. What a God we serve. He knows where you are. He knows what happened. He knows where we are today. So I'm reading this scripture and inviting you to come and see what the Lord has for you. God has a plan. So that's an introduction. And so, I'd like to share from Philippians, the third chapter. We have found him, the disciples said. And Jesus said, come and see. And so Paul writes to the Philippian church. And he says in verse 9 of Philippians 3, and be found in him. Now, Paul gave us his pedigree here. He told us what all he did. He was zealous, but he was zealous for the wrong thing. And he said, all the things that he did and who he is and who he was and what he had done, he lays it all down to know Jesus. And I just like to say at this point that it doesn't matter who we are, we all have to come the same way to Jesus. Confessing our sins, dying to self, and repenting. He says in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. That was his desire. And be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Where does this find you this morning? Be found in him. We have promises of God. That we can be saved from the wrath to come. And Paul taught this and he knew this. But here he says, he counted all things but loss that he may win Christ and that he could be found in him. You know, in Matthew it says, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so, you can be right today, your heart can be in perfect shape, but we need to stay there. We need to continue on. And for every individual, young men, young women, boys and girls, to be found in him when he comes again. Prepare to meet thy God. That's what the prophet Amos told us in the Old Testament. And it was a cry of the prophets, looking unto Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't come yet when the prophets, but they were crying to serve the Lord, look unto him. But it's a profound statement, be found in him. It's not by chance or if you're lucky, or whatever, but it's faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is alive forevermore, who died for you and me. And it says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Righteousness. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So many promises, and I'm not able to share them all. But I praise God that we can be found in Him, and we have to live this way. Righteousness is right living. I mean, not our own righteousness, but faithfulness, obedience, and serving the Lord and loving Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Don't give up. This is real. God is alive and He's coming again. We're not playing games. We're not wondering what it means when the Bible says something. He's not trying to tell us something. He's telling us. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. It doesn't change. So many people are trying to say, it was for back there. It's not for today. Don't worry about this. And be found in Him. You know, John writes in the 15th chapter of John, it says, abide in me and I in you. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And cast into the fire. If a man abide not in me, and he says, abide in me, and I in you, we have to be connected. We have to stay there if we are to be alive in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Not connected, we die. You know what happens when you trim a tree and you cast the branches out, and in a day or two they're all wilted up and they dry up and they're dead. No life. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags before God. We're not saved by works, but if you're saved, you'll work for the Master as long as you live. Don't give up. I mean, I don't do everything perfect or right, but someone asked me last night if I'm retired. I said, I just refired. And so let's not give up. God's grace is sufficient, and we need to keep on depending on Him, serving Him. In Isaiah 61, I believe it says, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And with salvation that keeps us. So don't become proud of what you're doing. Maybe you're doing more than somebody else. Don't think yourself you're better. God hates that proud thought. And we cannot merit salvation by works. Ephesians 1:8, it says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Romans 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise we have. What a God we serve. Don't go after the idols of this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. John 1. John in the 1 John 2, 15 or 16 there, it says that, For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let's not follow that. Let's follow Jesus. Come and see what he has for us. For you. He has a plan. We said quite a bit about faith, too, in this righteousness. And in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that seek him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James tells us. And John writes in the 5th chapter of 1 John, Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. How we need faith. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him, be found in him, and that I may know him. Oh, we know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. But have I experienced him? Do I have a new life? Paul Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. Do you? I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Persuaded. Nothing is able to, how does it say there in Romans 8? Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. Don't give up. God is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his heavenly Father. That I may know him. That was Paul's desire. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he's coming back again to receive us unto himself. He is coming. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. Let's not be worried. God is in control. And he knows everything that's going on. We praise God because he lives. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me, he said. He's the way. That I may know him. Do you know Jesus? And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Wow, in Ephesians 3:19, it says that. It passeth knowledge to know the love of Christ. To know Jesus and what he's done for us and the hope of glory that we can have. You know, I believe that everybody wants to die knowing Jesus, being found in him. We all want to die that way. Well, we're not going to die that way unless we live that way. We really need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's my heart's desire. That you and I can live with all the fullness of God. Experience his love in our hearts. And love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. You know, that's not just an idea. We need to experience that in our hearts and lives. First, love is to Jesus, to God. Give him your best, the best you have. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. These verses here are my text and my outline and everything. So I'm just going down the line here and just make some comments. The power of his resurrection. What is he trying to tell us? He's not trying to tell us. What is he telling us? You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, It was a powerful thing that happened. The angel came there. And the soldiers became as dead men. I mean, the power of God was there. And the stone was rolled away by the power of God. And he rose from the dead. Nothing stopped him. He's alive forevermore. And then Paul writes to the Romans in the 6th chapter, and he says, like as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Yeah. As Christians, God's people, God's children, walking in newness of life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. If Jesus hasn't changed your life, you'd better look again. We'd better measure up with the Word of God. We need to experience the power of His resurrection. You know, it says in Acts, is it the 3rd or the 4th chapter? It says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Great power! And Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. When we become born again, there's a power. We can overcome sin. We can say no to sin and follow Jesus. Depend on him for his grace and strength to take us through. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. First Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken us. I might have to turn to that. Let's see. First Corinthians 10, verse 13. Yeah. I could try to say it by memory, but I'll mess up. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Therefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Oh, Mennonites would never have idols. No. Flee from idolatry. The Bible warns us. And Jesus is there waiting to deliver us from temptation. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. The power of his resurrection. the fellowship of his sufferings. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? You know, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And it says, even if we suffer wrongfully. I think that's in 1 Peter 2. We should rejoice and be exceeding glad. Oh, we try to defend ourselves and we don't want to suffer. I didn't do that. But Jesus was our perfect example. He didn't do anything wrong. And he didn't try to defend himself. For this, in 1 Peter 2:19, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. So, the fellowship of his suffering. It's not easy. Of ourselves, we cannot do it. But Matthew writes to us, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow, strength, all power. Is given unto Jesus, and he'll empower us that we can live and love our enemies and pray for them and treat them in a godly way. How does it say, pour coals of fire on their head in 1 Peter? Paul told Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So let's not get discouraged. God has not left us. He's purifying us. God wants us to come closer. Come closer, my son, my daughter. Come closer to me. I have blessings for you. And being made conformable unto his death. I'm back in Philippians 3 again. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. When Jesus comes again, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Is it true? I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive. That's our God. Dead to self and alive unto God. We have to die to self. Yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Simple. That's what it says. That's what it means. Sin, Paul wrote in Romans 6:11. Well, that's dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Sin, verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over me or over you. Don't obey it. Don't let it reign in your hearts. Our master is greater than he that is in the world. We can overcome through faith in Jesus. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of Christ, of righteousness. The servants of righteousness. That's what we need. We're on our way to glory. And you are proving to God where you want to be. With Jesus or with the devil? There's just two places. There's just two ways. And you're making a choice if you realize it or if you don't. You're making a choice. Today and tomorrow, yesterday. Every day we're choosing our destiny. It's serious. And if you don't believe it, wait till you come where I am. I don't know why we can't be more serious when we're young. It seems like as we get older, it becomes more serious. But we should take life seriously when we're young. I'm so glad that I made the choices I did when I was young. I didn't do everything right, but I'm serving a forgiving God, a gracious God, kind and tender-hearted. And forgiving through the blood of Jesus. I have this hope and this promise that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me, for you. And he said, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, Jesus said, there you are. And I can be also. He promised it. We believe it. Let's live it each day of our life. Not as though, verse 12 here in Philippians 3, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. That's my last thought. Follow after. Don't give up. Follow Jesus, and we'll go the straight and narrow way that leads to glory. that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let's not follow the world. Follow Jesus. He's a tender shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the door through which we must enter. May God give you that desire with all your heart and soul and mind and strength to serve Him faithfully as long as you live. Make the choice when you're young. Don't waste those years. Young people, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You're surely going to regret it if you do. Forget Him. But remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And all of us, let's not forget the goodness of the Lord, His mercy, His grace, and the strength and grace that He gives us to live for Him day by day. God bless you. Let's stand in prayer.